You guys, Flickers of Fear time once again. Now, this is a movie that I swear to God, I saw this movie probably like a million times when I was in high school. It was on cable all the time. It was like a really popular VHS rental. So this is one of those movies that just kind of like in the late 80s and early 90s was sort of like integrated into my personality. But interestingly, I hadn't seen it in a really, really long time. I remembered like so much about it. I remembered lines from it. I remembered scenes from it, but I hadn't seen it in such a long time that I really wanted, you know, particularly to do this one for this show because I really wanted to watch it again and see if it held up. So this is the movie, The Lady in White from 1988. Now I feel like this movie is maybe, I don't know, I feel like maybe a lot of people that were kids or teenagers in the late 80s probably saw this. It had a theatrical release, but it was really kind of a bomb. I think the movie cost like $5 million to make, so it's fairly low budget even for the time, but it only made like $1.5 million back. But subsequently, like after it came out on cable, like it repeated on cable all the time, and like I said, when it came out on VHS, I feel like it started to develop a little bit of a cult following, but I don't know how well known it is nowadays. I did actually find several other reviews of it on YouTube. A lot of other horror channels had reviewed it. And interestingly, a lot of the reviewers, even if they were, I mean, obviously the ones that were my age, like had a lot of nostalgic affection for it. But interestingly, even the, you know, the reviewers that were much younger that hadn't seen this at the time that it came out still really, really seemed to enjoy it and were like, you know, this is like an underseen gem and why doesn't anybody ever talk about this movie? Which actually I would totally agree with. Now, this movie, it was written, directed, produced, and scored by Frank LaLoggia. Now, I don't know if he even ever did any other movies, like, other than this, or, like, where his career went after that, but it's, like, really interesting because this is just such a great, I don't know, this is just such a great ghost story slash murder mystery. Another thing that's great about this movie, well, there's many things, but one other thing that's great about this movie is, one, since the beginning part of it at least is set on Halloween and like particularly like early 1960s small town New England Halloween, so it really, really, this is a great movie to watch around the Halloween season because it really kind of like puts you in the mood. It's like that old fashioned small town New England, you know, all the colored leaves falling and like all the jack-o'-lanterns on the little porches and shit like that. If you really want to kind of get into that mindset, then this is a great one to watch. Like it kind of, it starts out on Halloween and like goes like a few months, you know, over the course of the movie, but it definitely has that old school Halloween vibe to it. So if you really are looking for something in that line to watch around Halloween time and you haven't seen this one, then this is definitely one you need to check out. Another thing too is this is a great movie where if you have kids that you are looking to get into horror, because I know that there's like old gothy and spooky people like myself that even though I do not have children, I do know some other people my age and a little bit younger who do have kids and are really into horror and are interested in getting their kids into horror as well, like, you know, to kind of foster that interest. And obviously you don't want to start them off with like fucking Hostel or anything like that when they're that age, but this is a really good family, I guess, horror movie. In the sense, and I'd still call it a horror movie, even though, like I said, it's much like a ghost story, you know, murder mystery. Now, I will say that I don't think it's probably not appropriate for like real, real young kids because there is some swearing in it. There's child murder. There's racism. There's all that kind of stuff. So it kind of deals with some heady issues and it's kind of like a serious tone, but just the way that it's shot, I think if your kid is like the same age as the main protagonist of this, maybe like 9 or 10 years old, then it should be totally fine. So I kind of feel like this movie, you know, something like this is a little more grown up than say like Hocus Pocus or something like that, or The Witches, although The Witches is like pretty traumatizing. I actually kind of want to do a review on that too one day because I really like that. But this is kind of in that same ballpark where if you're really looking to get your 9, 10 year old kids, like your, you know, preteen kind of kids into horror, this is actually a good one to start with. I will say, because it's set in 1962, it doesn't seem like an 80s movie, although I will say that some of the ghost effects look a little bit dated, you know, so they're green screened, and you know, this was kind of a lower budget movie, so the green screen effects don't look that fantastic, but I mean, the story is really solid. It just has a great creepy atmosphere to it, and it's just a great, great like family Halloween ghost story type of movie to watch. So if you haven't seen it and that sounds like really cool, you want something to watch with your kids, you know, this Halloween that you haven't seen, then definitely this is one to watch. So what we have, the story, there's a little boy named Frankie Scarlatti, and he's played by a very, very young Lucas Haas, who, as far as I know, is still acting. He's been in a shit ton of stuff since then, and I think he's also a musician. But there's also like a ton of other actors you will recognize in this. Alex Rocco is in it, plays his dad. I think he was in some of the Godfather movies, among many other things. Catherine Helmand is in this, who, if you were around in the 70s, she was on the sitcom Soap. And if you're around in the 80s, she was on the sitcom Who's the Boss. So she's been in a lot of stuff too. She's also in this. So this has like pretty much every actor in this should be like, hey, it's that guy, or hey, it's that lady, or have you know, everyone is like super familiar. So what ends up happening is that Frankie, who is 9 years old, back in 1962, like there's a little bit of a thing at the beginning where you're presuming that it's like a grown-up Frankie, and he's a horror writer now, and he is going back to his hometown, and he's telling the cabbie. Cabbie's asking him, do you really believe all that scary stuff you read? And he's standing by these gravestones. So then you kind of go back, and he's narrating a little bit, like talking about something that happened when he was 9 years old and what perhaps started him off on, you know, wanting to write horror or ghost stories or whatever. So it's Halloween. Frankie is going to school with his little Dracula mask on, his little cape and whatnot, his little pumpkin. And so he's going to class, and they're having a little Halloween party. Everyone, it's like I said, it's a very Halloween-y, like old school Halloween. The actual town, I think they shot it in Lyons, New York, like upstate New York. But the town is a fictional, it's called Willow Point Falls, I believe. But the story, like the kind of urban legend that they go into in this movie a little bit of the Lady in White is based around a real Lady in White urban legend from Rochester, New York, which is where Frank LaLoggia, the guy that wrote and directed the movie, came from. So he knew of that legend and he wanted it integrated in the movie. So basically what happens, like I said, it's Halloween. The kids are all very excited. Frankie, after school, he kind of already, he's kind of like telling monster stories to the class and everything. But on his way home, he kind of gets together with two of his frenemies, I want to say. It's really, considering the shit they do to him, it seems like frenemies more than anything else, even though he kind of hangs out. This is just kind of, it's such a boy thing. It's like, they still hang out together and like talk to each other, even though they're just like doing dick moves to each other all the time. But yeah, so he's got these two frenemies, Donald and Louie, and they decide it would be funny to basically, they plan this thing where they steal his cap, or like he has like a little beanie like that his dad gave him or something, or his little hat or whatever, and they hide it in the school's cloakroom. And then so when he comes to find them and he can't find it, he's like, oh, maybe you left it back in the cloakroom. So when he goes back to get it, his friends, like Dix, lock him in there. Now, since nobody knows where he is, so not only this poor kid locked in a fucking cloakroom, but he misses Halloween night, which that really sucks, right? So he's locked in this cloakroom and he's like, you know, freaking out and terrified, and everybody's gone from the school and it's really super creepy. Now, while he's in there, he falls asleep and he starts having like this dream about presumably his mom has died at some point, you know, in the past, and he's having like a dream about her funeral. And then he wakes up and he sees a little, like what is clearly an apparition of a little girl in the cloakroom. And as he watches in horrified fascination, I guess we can call it, it appears that this little ghost girl is being attacked and murdered by an invisible assailant. Like, it seems like somebody comes in, but you can't see them, and she starts talking to them, and then she starts getting, like, strangled and stuff. She falls on the floor. So he's freaking out about this, as you would, because it's a very, very clear ghost shit happening, and, you know, this little ghost girl is, you know, laying there dead now, and then, like, she's kind of picked up and taken out of the room by this invisible person. And then at some point, like, somebody comes into the cloakroom. Since he's still kind of, like, freaked out by what he just saw, as you would be, he attempts to kind of, like, hide from that person. Now, it seems like this person is trying to, like, find something that's, like, down in the heating grate, like, in the floor of the cloakroom, and doesn't find it. But then finally, he sees Frankie. He's, like, sitting up on this shelf, like, up on the cloakroom, so he's kind of, like, partially hidden. And at this point, we don't see who this person is. So because he doesn't know who Frankie is, because Frankie has his little Dracula mask on, he basically starts strangling the kid, at which point Frankie has a kind of weird, like, near-death experience where he sees the little girl that he saw in the vision, and she's basically like, you know, I can't find my mom. She's looking for her mother. So Frankie says in his, you know, near-death experience thing that he's going to help her. But then it turns out that Frankie's dad has shown up at the cloakroom, and they figured out where he was because, you know, after they found out that his friend, what his friends had done and blah, blah, blah. So they found out where he was. They came there. His dad gave him mouth-to-mouth, and he was revived. Now, interestingly, and this is where the kind of the racial aspect comes into it, which actually I had forgotten about. But because there's a janitor, custodian that works at this school, and he had gotten drunk and kind of like fallen asleep in his office. And since he was the only other person on the school grounds at the time, he gets arrested for attacking Frankie. Now he's a black man. So that whole thing is going on too. Now it comes to light after this, after Frankie is attacked, that, you know, it's kind of comes out in the paper. This is a small town and everything. So it turns out that Frankie's brother Gino shows him this big newspaper article, which says that actually 10 other, is it 10 or 11? I think it's 11 other kids have been murdered in Willow Point Falls over the past decade. So as he's looking at this article, the first victim looks just like the little girl, like the ghost girl that he saw in the cloakroom. And her name is Melissa. And as the story goes on, he sees Melissa like more and more, and they almost kind of like establish this little kind of relationship where, like I said, he's promised to help her find her mother, you know, help find out what happened to her and everything like that. So to that end, he decides that he's going to go back to the cloakroom and look in that heating grate, because he figures out, because he's a pretty smart kid, he figures out that the killer must have gone back to find like a high school class ring of his that he dropped down the grate when he was murdering Melissa, and he was going back to get it because the school was going to be replacing the heating system soon, and he was afraid that it would be discovered and that it would be linked to him. So Frankie goes back and he opens up the grate and he finds a bunch of stuff in there, like stuff from the other victims, like a barrette and stuff. And he also finds the class ring, which has initials on it. So, I mean, before he even like gets a chance to like tell his dad or the police or anything about that, his jackass brother like steals the ring for whatever reason, just because he's a jerk, you know, because he doesn't really know what it is. Now, meanwhile, while all this is going on, because there's that going on, but there's also this whole legend about the lady in white. There's supposedly this shack, this little cottage that's out by the cliffs, you know, on the ocean. And there's supposedly this really creepy woman in white that like lurks around there that's looking for her daughter or whatever. Now, one night, Frankie and his little frenemies, the ones who locked him in the closet and almost got him killed. So thanks, kids. You know what I mean? Why is he still hanging out with these douches? I don't know. But it's like, so he is. So they go there, you know, just like little boys do. It's just like, ooh, it'll be super creepy. We'll go out and like look at the, you know, cottage or whatever. And they kind of break in there and they actually see the woman in white, who's played by Katherine Helmand, and they freak out and they run away. While he's running away, he runs into his brother Gino, who is looking for him. And they figure out that ghost girl, Melissa, that he saw in the cloakroom, she is essentially reenacting her death like every night at the same time. So because he saw the first part of it when he was locked in the cloakroom, and then at one point she gets, like, it looks like she's picked up by an invisible person and, like, carried out of the room, he's like, well, maybe if we follow her, like, you know, through the whole reenactment, we can find out, like, where she is, what happened to her. So they basically do that. So they follow her ghost pretty much as she's going through being murdered again. And it turns out that the strangulation in the cloakroom didn't entirely kill her. It just rendered her unconscious. And then the killer was carrying her. She came back to consciousness and started screaming, and he threw her over a cliff. At which point, a woman, not the same woman that's the woman in white, but this other woman comes running out of the cottage, and this is presumably her mother, and she sees that her daughter is dead at the bottom of the cliff, and she subsequently throws herself off of the cliff as well. Now, so all of this stuff is going on. They know where the little girl is, like where she ended up. They know what happened to her mother. However, there's also this whole other thing where Willie, the janitor, you know, from the beginning, who has been accused of attacking Frankie in the cloakroom because he was the janitor, because he was drunk, because he was on the school grounds and he was the only one still there. But he goes to trial, and he is actually exonerated because there is no evidence tying him into the attack. And so his family is obviously very, very happy about it. However, when he gets off and he goes out to the car and he's going home and his family's really happy and everything. But then, like I said, this is maybe why you don't want, like, little kids, like, watching it, because I had totally forgotten about this real, like, bummer kind of development that happened in the movie. So he gets in the car with his family and he's going home, and this woman comes up to him. And previously in the movie, this woman had stood up in church and basically, she was, like, the mother of one of the other kids that was killed in the cloakroom or at the school, like, over the past decade. And she was resentful because Frankie had survived, and she's like, you know, why is your kid better than my kid? And she basically thought that Willie, the janitor, was the one that had done it, and he was still walking around loose, and she was, like, resentful about it. So there was, like, a whole scene in, like, the church earlier on where she had kind of, you know, let everybody have it. So she comes up to the car, and she tells him that she wants to apologize. She's like, you know, obviously you didn't do it. It's like the jury let you off and everything like that. But then, it will probably shock no one to hear that actually she raises a gun and shoots him right in the fucking head. So he gets off, you know, because, because he didn't do it. And then, he didn't even get to leave the courtroom. He was, like, in a car in front of the courtroom, and this crazy lady just walked up and shot him in the head. So, yeah, I had forgotten about that kind of, like, really traumatizing incident. So just know that going in. Like I said, it's your mileage may vary whether you want, like, a 9 or 10-year-old kid seeing that. I'm sure they could probably handle it, but because, you know, there's a lot worse shit in movies nowadays. But I'm just saying that's in there. And like I said, there is a big undercurrent. Since the movie is set in 1962, there is a large undercurrent of racism, you know, kids casually using the N-word and things like that, because they're trying to, you know, make it kind of seem like it would have been, like, a small town life in 1962. So just know that going in as well. So after that horrible shit happens, they actually figure out, and I don't know if I want to spoil it or not, but who the actual killer was by tracing the initials on the class ring. And then there's a whole very, very good, very tense kind of final act, final battle against the killer when he discovers that Frankie knows who he is. And so that's a really, really well done sequence. Like I said, I normally would spoil a movie this old, but because I feel like maybe a lot of people haven't seen it, and because the murder mystery aspect of this is such a big part of the plot and about what makes it enjoyable, I think maybe I'll just kind of, like, leave the identity. But like I said, they do kind of figure out, Frankie figures out who it is, Gino figures out who it is. It happens that Frankie is with the person that, you know, when he realizes and all this, and there's, like, a really, really tense scene toward the end where he's figures it out and he, you know, tries to get away, and it's, like, really, really scary. And then there's kind of, like, a flashback to, you know, the lady in white who, like I said, there's kind of two ladies in white, because one of them's a ghost, but then one of them is kind of still alive, even though you think she's a ghost, like, through the whole kind of thing. So there's that kind of whole thing too, and she ends up coming back in the final act and, like, helping out and all this other kind of stuff. So it's just a really, really well constructed murder mystery ghost story. And I just kind of feel like I said, this is a great Halloween type movie. It's a good family movie, even though there's like some pretty like scary or some pretty like horrific traumatic shit in it. I mean, like I said, there's child murders, there's like racism and stuff. Even though that all's in there, just the way it's portrayed, I guess, is not, I don't know. I don't think I would, like I said, I don't have kids. I don't think I would have any hesitation though about letting like a 9 or 10 year old kid watch this. I was older when this came out, but I still really, really liked it. And I was amazed, like when I rewatched it, how much of it I remembered, like how many lines from it I remembered, how many scenes from it I remembered. It just really, it was one of those movies that I saw it a bunch of times, you know, in 1989, 1990, like right when I was in high school. And it just really kind of like stayed with me, just the whole atmosphere of it. I don't know. I just feel like this is the type of movie that came out in the 80s, these types of family horror movies, if that's not like too weird a thing to say. And it's just, it's hard to recreate the atmosphere that they were able to capture. You know, it just kind of feels like it's not a straightforward horror movie. It's not a straightforward family. It's not necessarily a kid's movie, but kids can watch it. So it's just, it's that kind of thing. And I really like movies like that, movies that have that kind of vibe to them, because I feel like they don't really make a lot of them. They particularly don't make any anymore, but they didn't even make a lot of them back then. And I kind of feel like this one maybe has been a little bit forgotten about. You know, like I said, I have seen a lot of horror channels covering it, and even, you know, even on there, like some of the horror reviewers were younger and seemed like really, really into it. And it was interesting too, because I was reading like a lot of the comments, and a lot of younger people that weren't even alive when this movie was made were talking, it's like, man, you know, they just don't make movies like this anymore, and this is so great. You know, it's just such a great story and just such a great vibe to it, great atmosphere. And it's, you know, it's genuinely creepy and genuinely scary. Like the acting is great. Like it's got a great cast. It's just, I just love the whole vibe of this. And I really feel like it needs to be kind of more talked about, I suppose, you know, in this type of vein. Now, if you want to watch this, it says, it's weird because it says it's available on Hulu and Amazon Prime. And it is, but only if you get, I think, is it the Cinemax add-on? I want to say it's the Cinemax add-on, like for Hulu, or at least you have to have, like, you have to get a free trial of one of the other streaming service add-ons before you can watch it. However, somebody has uploaded the whole thing onto YouTube for free. I will say though that the picture quality is pretty shitty, but if you just want to watch the movie and you don't care about it looking good, then you can watch it on YouTube for free. If not, then you're going to have to go to Hulu or Amazon Prime and get like one of their other streaming service add-ons, or at least get a free trial for 7 days or whatever, to watch it in its beautiful, which, and I actually would recommend watching it in, you know, high resolution, because like I said, there's just this small town, autumn feel to it. And it just, you know, it loses something when you, kind of watch it in just shitty, you know, 420p or whatever the fuck that one video is. It looks like a VHS rip or something, you know, which is kind of a shame, but at least it's up there if people just want to see it, to see what it's like. And like I said, the special effects, like the green screen, it hasn't really held up. It looks kind of, but you know, this was a low budget movie, but really that's the only thing that I can hold against it, that, you know, the effects look a little bit dated nowadays. But other than that, this is just like a great, and I love ghost stories like this, and I love this whole ghost story, murder mystery, intertwined type of thing. And especially when you have like a kid at the center of it, who's trying to like kind of solve the mystery. And it's just like, I feel like that was a very distinctly 80s type of story. And I really, really liked it. And I'm glad I got to watch it again, like as an adult, to see if, I mean, I was almost an adult when I saw it the first time, because like I said, it was 1988, 1989 when I saw it, you know, when I was probably 17, I think, when I saw it, maybe. But yeah, this was definitely a movie that stuck with me over the years. And I feel like it needs more attention. It needs more people seeing it. If they're into 80s horror and haven't seen it, then definitely check it out. It's a great one to watch around Halloween time with your family. As I mentioned, even though there's like some shit in it, so sometimes it's kids a little bit traumatizing, and it is kind of scary. It's pretty scary. I mean, but you know, your mileage may vary on that. But a lot of people, I have seen a lot of people talking about it in comments and stuff, saying that they actually did think it was pretty scary. So, you know, just know that going in, if you want to show it to your kids this Halloween or whatever. But yeah, definitely check it out. It's called The Lady in White, came out in 1988. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear, and I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.